Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Cash Out Big, where we share the tools to get your business running like a well-oiled machine so you can create the wealth, the freedom, and the legacy you've always wanted. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. Today on the show, I'm going to talk with family and asset protection attorney Natalie Alicia. Why? Because our business can be really vulnerable to two terrible animals, creditors and predators. So how can we protect our business and our personal assets as well? You know, everything that we generate from and through the business that help our personal wealth. How can we protect those? Because it's easy to think about our business as a self-contained ecosystem. But actually, our business affects our family too. It affects our family in the sense of how much time we're spending at work. It affects our families in terms of how much money we're paying ourselves to then contribute to our family finances. It affects our families in terms of how much we then take to plow back into the business instead of maybe saving towards other things. So they're all issues of looking at whether or not your business is generating wealth. And as we mentioned in our Business Strong program, because it's not just about growing the revenue, but it's protecting that growth as well. And really, how often do we stop to truly think about the risk management and protection side of things? Because very often it's running around like we're the hamster on a wheel so much, and we're busy and we're stuck there. So risk management and protection is about getting control once and for all, so that all that you're working for isn't slipping through your fingers. As I mentioned, it's something we talk about in our Business Strong program, and there are plenty of other resources in our Cash Out Big video training at businessexponential.com. But this is a very issue that a client of mine faced recently. And this happened to a client of mine who ran into a situation where a customer had a very large outstanding receivable. And that, of course, affected the cash flow of the business. And when it affected the cash flow of the business, you better believe it affected his family's cash flow too. Because after paying for the rent and the employees and the insurance and all of the other expenses, there was a lot less left to pay himself. And as business owners, we tend to come last. So that really made his spouse very concerned because, well, you know, what happens? What happened if he died? What happened if this had been a lawsuit and not just a slow paying client? Is she going to be on the hook for any of these things? What are the legal liabilities there? And there's a certain amount that he and I discussed are protected because of the business entity that he has. But there are also some things that are vulnerable because he didn't have asset protection. Asset protection can be a vital part of the planning for any business owner, not just the uber wealthy, and perhaps even more so because when you don't have more money than God, there's less available to fund a war chest if there's a litigation or a serious problem. So that's why I'm really excited to have our guest, Natalie Alicia, on this week. Natalie is the founder of Alicia Law PLLC here in New York City, and the firm specializes in trusts and estates, estate protection, and elder law, and particularly the kind of planning that business owners need. She brings a real understanding of business owners, and business issues into asset protection, has a wonderful sense of what's practical and tactical, not just theoretical. And we're delighted to have her here on Cash Out Big. Natalie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Nina, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be speaking about the always fun conversation topics of what to do with your personal side of a business.
Well, there is a personal side, and it's often overlooked, so I'm going to put on that hat of the really annoyed business owner who says, hey, I formed an entity. Why isn't that enough? Why are you talking to me about asset protection? You mean there's more? I just want to shoot you.
Exactly. Well, I think we always get that, and we're like, what do you mean? I just can't have my personal assets sitting out in the ether and what else is there? So I think it's a great place to start. So let's talk about person who is starting an entity. That entity in and of itself might have some asset protection, of course, an LLC does, et cetera. But beyond what happens with the entity, the real question is, what then happens with the person? Because I don't care how much money the entity makes. In the event that it's not going from the business to personal wealth, first we have a problem, right? Because we all are in business to help our personal wealth and our family. So problem A is it can't necessarily all be in the business. And it's good to get all the eggs out of the basket of the business and make sure your personal wealth is also growing. Your wealth can't just be tied up in your business, and here's why. It really is the age-old adage of putting all your eggs in one basket. So if everything is wrapped up in the business, I had a business owner recently come to me, and he had about a $1 business 3 months ago before he came to me. And all of a sudden, lost three major clients, and guess what? Now they're a bankrupt business. So, And businesses happen. It happens like that all the time with different businesses. So what do we do proactively? Because people love to talk to me about asset protection when it's already too late. There's been an incident, there's been a lawsuit, there's been, you know, a bankruptcy, and then they're talking to me about asset protection. Guess what? That's a fraudulent conveyance. Can no longer happen. It has to be before there are any issue that they...
Like trying to close the barn door after the horse is gone.
Exactly. It's just too late. There's nothing that can be done at that point. So what I like to tell my clients is, okay, fantastic. We're going to set up with a fantastic business lawyer like Nina, a LLC and entity. So often people call me when it's a little bit too late. And what I like to tell all my business clients are, okay, you have a fantastic business lawyer that has handled all the incorporation, et cetera, for you. Beautiful, amazing first step. Second step is, now that we're transferring monies out of that business account into the personal account, what then occurs? Is it in your name, Bob Smith, or is it in the Bob Smith Asset Protection Trust, or is it in the Bob Smith Personal LLC that might have some other business purposes? And it really is a layering approach. If something is in trust, it no longer necessarily is owned by you. Why is that important? If it's owned by you in your own name, Bob Smith bank account, it can be taken from you by any number of creditors, divorcing spouses, bankruptcy, etc. In the event that it's owned, though, in a trust, like an asset protection trust, it no longer is necessarily owned by you. If it's not owned by you, it cannot be taken from you by someone else, which is the tremendous power of doing trust planning from an asset protection standpoint. But caveat there is it has to happen before that there is an issue at bay. Once there's an issue at bay, then you're really in a predicament where, as an attorney, I would never want to establish something like that for you because it can be detrimental because now you're spending money on my fee as well as I'm not confident that it will stand up in a court of law down the road. So I would never do that in the event that we know that there's something brewing at bay.
Mm-hmm. So are there particular kinds of businesses or situations that business owners can anticipate so they know, yes, I should do asset protection planning? Is this something that every business owner should do or only under certain circumstances?
I think every business owner really should think about doing some sort of planning because from a perspective of having something levied against you from the business and then whomever that person is trying to take your personal assets, we work way too hard as business owners in our business to build everything and then to have it, God forbid, taken from us. So Generally, not just business owners, I think all people should have great protections put into place to make sure that the hard-earned dollars that they have worked their entire life to save are protected for them. Secondly, my business owner clients are my favorites. Why? They're always so busy running the business. Now, the trust, asset protection, that's one subset of what they do, not the only thing. And sometimes it might not even be the most important thing. It really is about keeping that legacy of what they built and what they made during their business last in their personal life and build personal wealth not just for themselves, but for their spouses and for their family and grandchildren, etc. If structured correctly, these things and these trust and planning techniques can literally allow for money that the business owner has made to live and breathe outside of what we call the estate tax system, outside of the probate system, and thereby literally build generational dynastic wealth for their entire family for generations to come. It's an absolutely unbelievable tool that the very super wealthy business owners clearly understand and have tapped into already. And I think, Nina, on this call, it's important to empower all business owners to understand that that's a tool that's not only available to the super uber wealthy, but really to the middle class business owner or the small mom and pop shop that needs to think about continuity into the next generation on their personal side.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Let's pretend I'm a business owner. You know, I have a nice business and it's paying me a salary of, I don't know, for round numbers, $100,000 a year. What happens mm-hmm. with that money? I mean, I have to pay my mortgage. I have to pay my car payments. I have to pay my kids' tuition, whatever it is. How does the money then, does everything then go into trust? What are the mechanisms of setting up a trust? And how does that affect my day-to-day life as a business owner? Because it's sounding like it's adding an extra layer of complication.
Right. So, and I wouldn't necessarily suggest that every dollar people make should go into trust. Now, there's many different types of trust as well. Let's assume that a business owner is really not so worried about asset protection and really just wants to make sure that in the event, God forbid, something happens to them, that their spouse and family can get to the money seamlessly. In that event, we might open a revocable trust. And what that means is that the business owner is in full power and control the entire time. And it's as if they own it without having to worry about going through what we call the probate system, which can be quite intense. Now, let's assume, though, the business owner really wants to focus on asset protection. In that event, what they can do is set up an asset protection trust in a domicile such as Nevada, is my personal favorite. And doing that, they can have either themselves or their spouse have access as a trustee to that trust, and thereby it's as if it's themselves, but just as a layer of protection. And it's a little bit more complex than that, but I don't want to get too into the nitty-gritty because I think mm-hmm. that it's hard to kind of explain a trust that works for everyone. There's almost no such thing. It really is very particularized on the business owner and what they're trying to accomplish with them and their family.
Sure. That makes sense. So to get back to, again, money is distributed from the business to the owner. Is it usually if there's excess, mm-hmm. it then goes into a trust?
100%. And I would never suggest that every dollar a person makes is going to a trust, right? I'm talking about your savings. I'm talking about your house, right? How is those things owned? Because the worst thing I could ever imagine is for a business owner to get into a lawsuit and now have their husband or wife subjected to a lien against their personal family residence. I mean, that would be absolutely catastrophic. Or their personal family wealth, they're building and saving every single year, year after year. And certainly, in the event of a sale of a business where you're making quite a nice multiple on the amount that the business sold on, that has to be in a protected vehicle that not just is protected from creditors, but is also protected from taxes, from potentially divorcing spouse, from bankruptcies of any sort. So it's very important that these things be put into place, both during the business time period as well as after the sale.
That's an interesting point. So in order to protect, so I'm selling my business and I'm walking away with, woohoo, $5 million, $10 million. Do I need to have that trust in place before that sale goes through? Or can I place
Definitely.
The funds in trust? Definitely. Okay.
Well, here's the big thing about exiting business. Are we exiting? And let's say we're making $10 million on a business. God bless us. We have a great business. We sold it. We're so happy. Everyone is having a party. And now we're at the table, right? And we're going to sign the contract and the sale and buyer is going to be handing us a $10 million check. I mean, this is the best day ever. But what happens to that money? It's not $10 million free and clear. We have tax implications. So often business owners try to come in and say, oh my God, I just sold my business last week. Best day ever. Let's do some planning. And I look at them and I say, congratulations, that's amazing. Maybe you should have called me 2 weeks ago before the sale, because we might have been able to structure it in a certain way using certain maybe life insurance products, maybe different kinds of investment vehicles, maybe different kinds of trusts, and really have the conversation, not just with a private equity buyer and your attorney on the business side, but also to try to make that $10 million really resonate and be powerful for your family. Because now that $10 million is part of your personal wealth. And I want to make it my mission on this planet to make sure that every business owner who sells and every person maximizes their money and gives as little as possible to the tax man and to everyone else who is trying to get at that money at those hard-earned dollars. So often people miss the boat and they're sitting with their mergers and acquisitions attorney, their business attorney, and they're making the transaction. But why not make the call to the trust and estate attorney who can say, okay, these are the three other people we need to bring to the table to really truly understand how to make that $10 million truly $10 million, or even more if we can supercharge it with, let's say, a life insurance product, or let's say some sort of annuity, depending on the business owner, right, and what they need to live, et cetera. But these are such powerful, powerful tools that if put in at the right time are just can make that $10 million literally fund generations and generations of wealth in a very nice way of living. And Nina, honestly, even before the sale, for business owners, for example, the big implications of trust and estate and asset protection planning are really from a tax perspective, because so often, I mean, I just wrote a five-figure check to the government for my taxes from 2015. I was on extension and just wrote my own personal, you know, check. And I said to my accountant, I never am going to do this again. And then it was a little bit of, Natalie, listen to what you preach, because if I had set up in 2015, when I was still, a younger business owner, if I had set up the right structures of a profit sharing plan and et cetera, I would have been able to pay myself in pre-tax dollars and not have to write that check to the government. So I know every business owner out there is always looking for a tax strategy, and it's all completely legitimate, above board. There's so much out there, and it's just about finding the right people to make sure that that transaction happens, because I would always rather fund my retirement and make sure that my money is going right back to me as opposed to being written to the government, because I have never seen that it's a two-way street. Like, I'm not saying to the IRS, well, here's $10,000 or $20,000 this year, but you got me next year. Like, I'll maybe my next life it'll happen. But usually it's a one-way street, right? So
right.
I would much rather that money go to me.
I was going to say, you touched on taxes being an issue that business owners need to think about. What are some of the other creditors or predators that we might want to have in the back of our minds as business owners to say, these might be some of the people who might come after us if we've not had an experience of that previously in our business lives?
Great question. Oh, my goodness. So it's like, how many people can you count on one New York City street? Those are all potential creditors and predators, and let's discuss why. Number one, if you're a business owner who happens to be married, your spouse can be a big creditor of that business, because more likely than not, most of your net worth, especially as you're building the business, will be wrapped up in the business. So when spouse comes along and you're part of the 52% or whatever it is that gets divorced and comes knocking on your door and says, I need to continue my way of living that we did before, but we're getting a divorce, that money is going to be coming straight from the business, right? So I've seen so many people who are very well off after divorce ends up saying, I don't know what happened to all of my money. And as a result, what a hit it takes to the business because, you know, your employees still need to be paid. They don't care that you're divorcing. So all these, your rent still has to be paid. All these things still have to be paid. But now you have a super big alimony check every week as well. So divorcing spouses is one definite creditor that can come after you. Here's another one. Let's assume that you are renting a property for your business. And you had to give a personal guarantee in order to get that property. Now, the bank or the hard money lender or whomever is writing that check to you is an immediate creditor. And in the event that your business is not keeping up, of course, they can go after you. And that's exactly what a personal guarantee means. They can personally go after your personal assets and we're talking about your primary residence. We're talking about your bank account with your husband or wife. I mean, everything. Who else? So anyone that's walking in the street that, let's say you're driving your beautiful car that you just got and it's your dream and all of a sudden, God forbid, you hit somebody with a car, okay? That person can hire a private investigator and come after your personal wealth and which might be very tied to your business. Now, they might not have a claim against the business because how can they, right? You're just the owner.
Right.
However, let's assume that the name was listed, the name of the car or the car was bought as a business expense. So now they might say, oh, car was registered in Bob Smith LLC. Deep pockets. I like it. And I promise you, many attorneys are very willing to go there. Unfortunately. So it is what it is, right? And all these things can happen. Let's say you rent out. Maybe you're a real estate owner, and that's your business. And you rent out your different commercial properties. And all of a sudden, someone trips and falls in front of them. But you really were cheapo in the beginning, and you only wanted to buy one LLC. Well, you own 30 different properties, and now because one tenant or one visitor of a tenant fell in front and hurt themselves, guess what? 30 of your other properties that are all under the same LLC now can be hit up for payment.
Isn't this something that maybe can insurance take care of this, or you just don't know whether
Absolutely.
Or not the amount
so
of, say, the person...
Important.
Yeah, you know, if a personal injury is for you know, $5 million and you only have a $2 million policy, they can still come after you for the excess.
Absolutely. So insurance is incredibly important. Fit and not need it and need it and not have it. Must. Business owners should absolutely get as much insurance as possible from an umbrella policy, whatever. This is basically for the extra. This is for the other stuff that insurance won't cover. You are basically establishing your own insurance policy, not in that you're paying for an insurance policy, but in that you're literally shielding your personal wealth and assets by just doing the right thing. And all it is layering different levels of either LLC or trust on top of each other to ensure that no one can touch your personal assets. And honestly, Nina, a lot of people will call me and they'll say, oh my God, I just got in a car accident. What do I do now? And I tell them, you can't do anything. And by the way, even if your insurance will cover it, and even if they're going to just go for what the policy amount is, it's very unnerving to have to sit through what could be a 3 to 7 year litigation and wonder, what if, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? What's the jury going to say? It's very unnerving. So it really is about you pay a few shekels, you get the right things in place, and that way you never have to worry because you know you took care of the problem before there was a problem, you're protected, and guess what? It's a fantastic settlement tool. Because now any creditor who comes by, you literally tell them, listen, buddy, I have a trust that's impenetrable, and you're not going to get a dime. So either you're going to walk away today, or, and the alternative, I'll give you a few bucks to walk away and get away from here. it now has strengthened the hand you play at the negotiation table 100%, because you know that no matter what judgment any person could put against you, it's essentially a judgment that's not able to be delivered on.
Interesting. So is, when people are thinking about selling their business, should they expect that buyers may be looking into their personal issues? So, for example, having leased the car through the company, in the company's name, and then getting into a personal injury accident. Is a buyer going to be looking for that kind of lawsuit in their due diligence?
You know what? I think that it depends on the type of firm it is and whether or not the sophistication of the buyers. But I certainly think that really good firms who are writing big checks are certainly looking at everything. Now, do I think that one little personal injury lawsuit is going to stop a buyer? I don't think so. I think that would be a little far-fetched. But I certainly think that in the event that you could avoid it, I mean, really good private equity firms and firms who are buying these businesses are looking at everything because they want to make sure that, let's assume that the personal injury lawsuit was not a one-off and your business was actually in the realm of driving cars and that's what your business is. Maybe it's trucking, maybe it's manufacturing, whatever. Now that becomes a real liability that these potential buyers are looking at because they have to factor in, okay, how much are we going to have to pay in insurance claims and how much are we going to have to pay in lawyers to make sure that this business continues to run successfully.
Right. That's a great point. So let me jump to a situation where, for example, I'm a sole owner of a business and I don't have a spouse or my spouse predeceased me or I'm already divorced and that's all taken care of. What kinds of things should I be, and can I still be using a trust? Is a trust useful for children? What if I don't have children? You know, what are
Very
some of the
useful.
Dynamics?
So,
yeah, with maybe those non-traditional family arrangements.
I will tell you, Nina, I'm getting more and more non-traditional family predicaments in my personal practice. And I'll give you a few examples of what has happened with these people. So I have a client that had no family and has already passed and came to me about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And this person said, Natalie, we're going to give everything to charity. I have zero family. Fantastic. And we did a will. Didn't want to do the trust, did the will. Fantastic. Okay, great. Now we get to time where it's going to probate court. The man passed away, unfortunately. And now we're in front of the courts. The courts are going to make me find every relative, even a first cousin once removed, to now be able to settle this estate. Well, that's completely contrary to what this man wanted. He wanted the maximum amount of dollars going to these charities. But because of the court probate system, every single person who would be in the family tree needs to now be notified. So imagine how much money is spent in legal fees having to find these people and serve them as opposed to having all that money having been placed in the trust, making it a private transaction, zero court, and literally the charities could have gotten the check the week after the death. It's night and day. What could have taken a week to finish now will probably take 3 to 5 years.
Oh, my.
And potentially there might be no money left in the, it was a smaller estate, so there might be no money left to even give the charities. I mean, it is that backwards. So let me give another example. A family, a person who's extremely charitable might want to supercharge their estate with putting it in trust and putting an insurance policy behind it to be able to pay out a charity of their choice an extreme amount of wealth. It's a fantastic planning tool. And let's say someone with no spouse but kids, now they're in a little bit of a pickle. Why? When we have a spouse, I have a husband, I have $20 million, let's say. On the first death, everything goes to my husband, let's assume I die first, estate tax-free. And when he dies, if he does the right planning and preserves my estate exemption, we're able to combine both of our estate exemptions, which federally is about $11 million and then pass the rest to our kids. So only the nine remaining would be subject to estate tax in that scenario, unless we did advanced planning, but let's just keep it simple for now. If I'm a single person, though, with no spouse, that tax gets hidden immediately after my death, after the $5.5 million. So now I have to really think about, okay, what am I actually leaving my children? Because if I'm leaving my children assets that are, let's say, real estate, which are not liquid, and now the government, after 9 months of my death, is going to come knocking on my door and say, hey, kids, pay up, you know, pay up the, let's see, in that scenario, $8 million in estate tax that you owe, and make it quick, because in 9 months we're going to put a lien against you if you don't. Now my kids are in a position where they have to make a fire sale, and they have to figure out, what do I do with this business? And Nina, the single biggest thing I see with business owners, it's amazing to me. I come and they'll come to see me and we'll have an initial conversation. They say, so great, you have a wonderful business. What's it worth? What do you make a year? And they'll say to me, well, you know, Natalie, we make $2 million in gross revenue every year, but without me, there would be no business. And every business owner tells me that without them, there would be no business. And I say, I get it. I get that's how you feel. And I get that you have to be at work every day in order to bring that money home to your family. But guess what? The IRS does not agree with you and I to think that the second you're dead, your business is worth zero. And in fact, they might even take a multiple of your revenue and on that number base your estate tax, which, by the way, if you live in New York, is about 56% between the federal and the estate and the and state of New York. So on something that you planned for nothing, you thought it was only worth zero. And now the IRS is coming and saying, well, you know what, your business is worth $5 million. And by the way, your personal assets are on top of that. Now you left your family in a terrible position because you were almost so arrogant to think that the business was worth nothing without you. And that's not how the IRS sees it. And that's amazing. The single biggest mistake I see my business owners making, that they are not consistently getting valuations done in their business. What's it worth? And they're not planning for that, God forbid, untimely death. In the event that they're still working and running the business, what will it be worth? And when they have partners, forget it. You must have a buy-sell agreement in place. What happens if your partner passes away? Now their spouse is all of a sudden your business partner? Your spouse, their spouse may not have the expertise. And even if they do, you might not like working with them. So how do we buy that spouse out? There must be a buy-sell agreement in place, fully funded, in order to ensure that in that event, it's taken care of. And the second biggest thing, Nina, that I see, honestly, is people are much more likely to become disabled early than they are to die early. Disability is the single biggest thing. I mean, people don't have power of attorney set up. They don't have healthcare proxy set up. They don't have disability insurance. What are they thinking? Because one of my clients, business owner clients, I will tell you, ran an amazing operation, fantastic. One day, literally could not walk anymore. Out of the blue. And you know what? Was not able to return to the business for a year and a half. And he thanks his lucky stars today that thank God he had his disability insurance coverage that paid him money every single month to make sure he could sustain his business, even though he couldn't go in for a year and a half. It was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it literally, when you need it and when it's there, it makes the business run, it makes your personal life run. I mean, it's the difference between ending up on the street after getting disabled or being able to continue and sustain a business in your personal life. That's how important it is.
Those are great points, Natalie, and an interesting place to wrap, just being aware of what's the valuation on your business. Do you have disability insurance in place? Do you have a buyout agreement? Which, if they're my clients, they absolutely do. Thank you very much. So not to leave people on a scary note, are there maybe, let's say, your top three, even small action items that business owners can take, steps, calls, whatever it is, to just get more knowledgeable about this area, make a plan, take a step just so that they are aware. And again, their business can be better protected, their personal assets can be better protected, and their families can be better protected.
Great question. So here are the things. Number one, make an inventory. Sit down with your spouse and your kids and really understand, what do I have? Where is it located? Which banks is it in? What's the art worth? What's the jewelry worth? What are the stories around those things? What are my passwords? Very important. No one does. Extremely important. Write it down in a list and make sure your spouse and your kids know where it is. Step one, super, super, super important. Step two is make sure you have at least a basic plan in place and a contingency plan of what happens if. And that means, very simply, every person on the planet needs a power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and a will. They may or may not need trust and advance planning, et cetera, depending on their level of wealth. But every person on the planet needs those three things. Those are going to ensure that, God forbid, in the event of death or disability, you are covered. You don't have to worry. And step three is make sure that the correct insurances are in place. I know it's really not pleasant to have to pay for them every single month, and we're saying, why do we pay for this? So much money. But I have seen that insurance literally makes or breaks the family after a death or a disability. It is so important, especially for business owners who put their whole entire lives into that business. There is no one writing them the check in the event that, God forbid, something happens. Super important. And the fourth thing, Nina, that I constantly see, I had a terrible story. You know, a daughter came in after mom died, and mom didn't change the beneficiary in her life insurance, and it ended up going to ex-fiance, who would not give it up to the daughter. It was an absolute terrible story. Oh. Make sure beneficiaries are updated constantly, because the beneficiary designation takes precedence over any will. So even in the event that you got divorced, that you broke up, that something happened, and we know that to be the state of facts in the world, if the insurance company or the bank or the brokerage account has not received an updated beneficiary form, it's still going to that person. Wow. So I would highly suggest that every single person look very closely at who are their beneficiaries.
Terrific. So we've got making an inventory, have a what-if plan, make sure the correct insurance and the correct beneficiaries are in place. And just, you know, checking, how often would you suggest we check in on that? Every 3 years, every 5 years? What is it?
I think it's probably every 6 months to a year.
Oh, every 6 months to a year.
If people are not making crazy changes, and if it's a lovey-dovey family where mom, dad, Bobby, and Susie, the kids, and everyone loves each other and everyone's fantastic, and you know you did it once, don't worry. Okay, fantastic, fine. But let's say there's a life event, there's a death, a divorce, a disability, a new birth, anything that can happen, always review. And at the very minimum, I would say once a year, just come back to the table and make sure that all your beneficiaries are lined up, your insurance is lined up, and that your documents are in place.
Okay. Natalie, all just great, great information on protecting our businesses from creditors and predators. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Nina. Always a pleasure.
And thank you for tuning in to Cash Out Big. Do you sometimes feel like you're running so fast in your business, you're stuck on a giant hamster wheel? I put together a special training that'll show you how to take control once and for all. You can get the Cash Out Big video training and more great resources at businessexponential.com. Go there now, and I'll see you on the next podcast.